Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a fellow podcaster and established comedian whose conversational and laid-back style of stand-up has seen them appear on Live at the Apollo, Mark the Week, Russell Howard's Good News, and so many more. To find out, you know why I'm stumbling is because I've just realized I've left my washing machine on. So I'm gonna go turn that off, and Pete, my producer, can decide whether this bit of stupidity stays in. Once
you should keep it. It's atmosphere. It's
atmosphere. Cool. I'm just gonna close the door because it will distract me. That's what it is. To find out if their warm-hearted comedic style matches their dating life, please welcome Nathan Caton.
Hey, what's going on, mate? You alright?
Yeah, all good. Already beginning to melt in this room, and I've only just closed the window. So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, this is I'm happy to be here on this podcast, but if there was any day that you don't want to be sat in a room, it is today when it's this little mini heat wave, as they're calling it.
Yes.
Maybe Greta Thunberg is onto something.
Yeah, well, because I think there was a little bit of that kind of cockiness here in the UK of, like, people were taking climate change seriously. But there was a slight undertone of, like, well, it is kind of cold here. You know, if we had a few degrees, there was definitely a bit of that when I was younger. And now it's like, no, I can't work in this. We don't have aircon in this country. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, now it's getting too warm for the UK now.
Yep.
If you ever complain about heat, but yeah.
If anywhere is going to complain about all types of weather, it's going to be here, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, listen, as soon as it goes back to normal, we'll be complaining again. Oh, it's always cold and grey here. So it was hot last week. That was last week. That was ages ago. Yeah, we will complain.
Yeah, national pastime. I think it's one of the few things you're allowed to talk to strangers about. Complain about the weather. Safe. That and buses.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should talk about dating. You've got a story to share.
Yeah, you asked me to think of a dating story, preferably like a funny one or an amusing one. The first, there's one that comes to mind straight away because it was an epic fail on my behalf. So this was a long time ago. I was in my early 20s, probably maybe 22, 23-ish. I was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. There's a lot of comics we go to every summer to, make or break. Most of the time it's break. Yeah, so you're there for the whole month, slogging away, you're spending fortunes on doing a show and your accommodation and stuff like that. Hopefully that, it will pay off and you get a break, and you get TV and radio recognition and all that kind of stuff. So I'm there for the whole month. I'm a single man as well, so I spend a lot of time after my shows going to the bars and socialising and stuff like that. Not like now, where I've got my girlfriend, so like now, like last time I did Edinburgh with my girlfriend, I would do the show, go back home and just have like a normal boring dinner with her, but I like that. But at the time when I was 22, 23, however old I was, it was just out every night. This one particular night, I met a certain girl, right? She was cute. I won't say her name because a gentleman never tells.
Could still be a fan. Wait a minute. Could still be every bit of content in case she bumps into you again.
Can you imagine that? Oh, gosh. So, she's a nice girl. We got on. We had a few drinks and stuff like that. And then we ended up just hanging out during the month. The first day we went on, we go to a bar, because she was from Edinburgh, so she knew the area better than I did, right? She was like, having a few drinks, and I was like, I could use something to eat. Do you want to get something to eat? And she's like, yeah, cool. What do you fancy? Like, why don't you decide, right? So it sounds really weird, but I chose to take this girl to Chicken Cottage, right? Not even like a proper restaurant or Nando's. It's not even KFC. It was like KFC's dirty cousin, Chicken Cottage, right? For a first dinner date. We get there, all right? I'm excited as hell because, like, this fried chicken on the horizon. Not to sound like a stereotype, but I'm loving it.
I thought you were going to say something about her. No, the chicken.
No, yeah. I was tunnel vision on the chicken, right? So much so that we've got our food. We're at the table. I've got like a maxi burger, like a hench chicken burger. I've got chips. I've got a piece of chicken. I've got some extra wings that would on the side and a drink. She has an apple pie. That's it. So I'm like, I thought you wanted to eat. I mean, don't be shy. You can eat in front of me. I like a woman who can eat. It's fine. And she was like, I'm vegetarian. And I was like, well, then why didn't you tell me when I said, let's go Chicken Cottage? And what she said, I don't know if, I mean, it does sound like something I would do, but she said, I did tell you on the way here, but I don't think you were listening to me. And I think I was so excited about going to Chicken Cottage that I totally forgot the fact that she was vegetarian. I totally ignored the fact that she was vegetarian, and I took her there. So she basically, our first like proper dinner date was her just watching me eat for half an hour, because I didn't, I spent the money, so I'm like, I'm not gonna leave now. I'm not gonna, like, you know, abandon ship. I want this food. So yeah, she would just watch me. It was like a weird date slash torture, like making a vegetarian just watch me consume chicken for half an hour. So anyway, luckily she was cool. Like, I mean, deep down, I was kind of embarrassed. Not embarrassed enough to leave, but I was like, how can I take a girl to Chicken Cottage first of all, and also she's vegetarian as well. So anyway, long story short. You finish that, have some more drinks, end up going back to her place to chill for a bit. And I'm just chilling. We're both just, you know, nothing, no hanky-panky. We're just having drinks at the moment, just enjoying each other's company. And then I felt like a little like bubble in my belly. And you know, like when you just, you know, something's not right and you have to get out. So basically the Chicken Cottage, the food was dodgy. It was like karma was saying, that's what you get for taking a vegetarian to Chicken Cottage. And yeah, basically I got the shits. So I had to leave. I couldn't do it in her house because there's no way that she's going to want to do anything with me if I do that in her house and just stink up the whole place. So I had to abandon ship. I don't think she realised what was going on. I said, oh, I've got to go. I've got to be up early. You know, I've got a radio thing in the morning, whatever. Left, went home and just unloaded.
And did you know you had time?
I wasn't willing to risk it, so I just basically, I left as soon as I could. I just said, oh, it's really late, I've got something to do. And then, yeah, just bolted out, went home, and yeah.
Got there in time. Good.
Oh, no, yeah, there was no mess on the streets of Edinburgh. I managed to make it back to my flat and do what I had to do there. Did I see the guy again afterwards? I think I saw him maybe once afterwards again, and we just had drinks this time. There was no dinner involved, because I was fun. Don't risk it again. That's the weird dating story that I have I've had. It's a karma telling me, do not go to Chicken Cottage. Chicken Cottage is not date appropriate.
No.
No offence to Chicken Cottage.
I love it. And I do wonder, actually, if you slightly did that to yourself as well, because with the tension, like when she's there watching you just go through all this meat you've ordered around you. Were you rushing? Were you feeling self-conscious? I think I would.
I never rush my... Listen, if I'm enjoying food, okay. Yeah, I'm going to savour this. I'm not... No, I was like, listen, I bought all this food. I'm not rushing for now. I'm going to take my time and eat it. But luckily, she was cool about it. She was, like, credit to her. She was very laid back. Yeah, she like, there was no tension, there was no animosity, nothing. She was like, oh, yeah, just eat your food. And I was like, okay, cool. You ain't got to tell me twice.
I think I would feel more self-conscious. I'm also a really slow eater. So I have this thing I do in general, but also on dates, where when the food comes, I then ask loads of questions and put the conversation more on the other person. And then that way, oh, okay. I'm not a slow eating and they're not like waiting for me. So then if they're not eating at all, and I've definitely been on those dates with women where they're like, oh no, I just have a side salad or something like that. And I'm just like, well, you're just going to be watching me eat. You never think about whether you're an attractive eater until you're in that situation. And then you're like, oh shit.
I can't imagine that I was an attractive eater. I can only imagine that she was watching me just like getting chicken stuff in my teeth and sucking on a bone and shit. This is good. We should almost say this is great. Yeah.
Went in vegetarian, came out vegan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she definitely hates meat. Yeah. I can't imagine that. I might have been pleasant to watch, but the chicken did taste good at the time. I do remember that. I remember thinking it was a spicy maxi burger. I remember that.
I love it. You're still gonna take that. You'll take that to your grave. At least you got that out of it.
Yeah, listen, at the time, forget the consequences afterwards. But at the time, in the moment, eating that food, I was in my element. It was great. It was one of the best dates I was having.
And so to reflect more on your single days then, so what What was it like then, that general Edinburgh experience? You're doing shows usually like every day, right, for the whole month. You're away from home in a different city. You're around all these like different accents, different people that you're meeting. Were you tending to see a lot of people? Were you getting people come up to you after shows?
Was I seeing a lot of people? I wasn't seeing a lot of people, but I was out nearly every night of that month, because that's what you do. You go out to bars, you socialise, you meet other comedians, you meet people in the industry, you network, all that kind of stuff. And then once you're out, you just might bump into other people at the bar or whatever. Going to bed at like 6 a.m. and having a kebab for breakfast.
Yep, and then you've got to do it all again.
Exactly. And then you wake up at like 2 and you're like, okay, let's go again. Day number 7.
And did you ever date other comedians?
No. Not in Edinburgh, no. I mean, I've been out on date in London with a comedian, but I don't know, I've always had this thing about dating someone in the same industry. It was like, is that too much comedy? You know what I mean? Just want an escape. So, nah.
Yeah, you're like, give me somebody from a really sad job. Give me an accountant that hates accountancy. That'll balance me out.
Yeah, man, just give me someone with a regular 9-to-5. You know, I don't want to get in and I'm like, how was your gig? It was great. How was your gig? I don't care. No, just come on. This is something different, please. My brain has enough comedy going on already.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think a lot of relationships in general, I don't know if you can have two people that are kind of the star, right? You know, and I think that that works in a really broad sense. I know it can work, but even like you tend to find that one person's more extroverted or one person's more high powered or whatever, because there can be too much of something in a relationship.
Mm.
Or it'll be something where like maybe you can both be the star, but one of you is not like that at home. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you can be that 24/7 with somebody else.
You need the yin and yang.
Yeah, balance it out.
Exactly.
And so now you're in a relationship. And how did you meet?
I was a guest on her. She used to do a radio show in the local area. I was a guest on her show. Went on. Well, she said that I was very quiet and I was very shy at the time. But I wasn't shy. She just wasn't asking me good enough questions. So, yeah, she said I'm very quiet, but eventually we just got talking, and the thing is that my girlfriend, she talks a lot. Like, she's a talker, people person. Like, she'll just make conversation with anyone. So when I went on a show, eventually the conversation got flowing, and it's like, oh, okay, we have good chat. We get on, we get along. Yeah, just carried on talking, stayed in touch on the phone and stuff, and here we are.
Nice. And does she contrast at all with people that you've dated in the past? Like, have you noticed sort of as you've got older, has like your seriousness with relationships changed? Has the type of people you go for changed a bit?
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't say the type of people. That sounds very cliche, but I wouldn't say I have like a very defined type. Okay, I like a woman with curves. I know for definite. I like women with meat on their bodies. But like personality as well, like just someone who like I can vibe with. I've always had that, and I think that's something that's always you got to click with them. You know what I mean? You know, like I like to joke about. I can be very sarcastic, and if someone just doesn't get that, then it's like okay, well that's just dead end. I'm not gonna bother with that.
Yeah.
So I've always gone for someone that I can just kind of just like muck about with, not take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, because otherwise it can look good on paper, but you've still got to fill the hours. You know, you still need to be around them all that time.
And exactly.
Yeah, talking helps. You were saying?
Oh, I was saying, my girlfriend, talking does help. I mean, she can just start a conversation and she'll carry on going and going and going and going and going. Which, I mean, sometimes it's like, okay, babes, I get it now. Can we just watch this in silence, you know? But it's great because she's like, she is the opposite to me, but in a good way, though. Like, she's a people person, whereas I'm like, I don't hate people-ish, but I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if we're out in a bar or restaurant, she'll just start talking to the table next to us. Whereas I'm like, I don't know you, I don't need to know you, so why am I talking to you? But she's good like that. She's kind of just like, she's the friendlier person that I need to be around.
Interesting. I think we might be similar on this. Yeah, I'm not that kind of friendly. I'm friendly, like, with people I know and have, like, a reason to communicate with.
Yeah.
You know, but exactly. That kind of, like, somebody chatting to the table next to us, I don't know what to do in that situation. Chatting to the waiter, sure, absolutely. I know how to have that interaction. But no, just making random friends or, like, you know, couples where, like, they'll make friends with other couples at a hotel. That's really stressful to me. I'm like, are you stuck with them? Do you have to say hello to them every time you see them? What are the rules there? I don't know.
Yeah. I remember, so me and my girlfriend, we went to, where do we go? Cyprus or something like that. We were on the lounge beds and she started talking to the couple next to us, just having a proper fun conversation. And I was like, I don't want to talk. So I just panicked and I went for a swim.
Yeah,
because I don't need to stop. Why am I talking to you? I don't care. No offense to these people, but I don't care about you. So I just went for a swim and I was like, fuck that. Okay, I'd rather just be by myself and do nothing rather than talk to some next people. I sound really antisocial, which I can be, but I mean, that's why it's good having my girlfriend around, because she's a social butterfly.
I think it's different types of socialising, right? You know, we all have our different strengths. So, you know, maybe she wouldn't want to get up on stage and talk to a whole room of strangers, but she's happy with a few that she bumps into. You know, it's just different speeds, right? And I've realised, actually, dating a few people like that, that I'm more invested in the strangers they make friends with via them. So, like, you go find out about their whole life, find out what their kids are called, all of this. Bring me back some stories, and I'll hear about it, and I'll be interested because you're interested. And I think I'm like that a lot. Okay, like, cool, I can be interested in, like, all kinds of, like, sports I've never heard of, celebrities that you care about the relationships of. I can be invested in all sorts if I'm with somebody that's interested in that stuff.
Yeah, okay. Me and my girlfriend, we're very much like that. And they're like, she'll go away and talk and stuff like that, but then she can come back and report to me. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But she has to go and do the grafting.
Yeah. My gran, actually, on my dad's side, used to be very good at making friends like that, but then she would also very quickly get bored of them. So maybe it's partly that I'm used to people being, like, offloaded on me when she would get bored of talking to them.
Okay.
To the point where she fully got me to change seats on an airplane once, because she'd ran out of questions for them and she decided they'd love to speak to me. I was like, great. I was listening to my music, I was chilling, and now I've got these people I have to be nice to because I don't really know why we're talking to them and if we know them.
Yeah, I know.
But talking about family, I feel like yours might be quite a big factor in your dating, because you're very close to your family. They come up in your work quite a lot. Your nan's been part of some of your sketches even. And I love her. I'm very invested in her. And so what are they like about your dating life?
To be honest, I keep my family and the girls I date or have dated quite separate. Like, I think I've only brought my girlfriend and one of my other girlfriends. Oh, no. Actually, no, I didn't bring her. Okay, my mum knew about her, but my girlfriend is the only girl that I brought back to meet my family. Because for me, meeting my family is the big hurdle. And I know my family, like, if I bring home a girl who's not worthy or a girl who's just, like, a dickhead, my family will rip her to shreds. And then they'll kill me for being interested in her in the first place. So for me, it's like, sounds really bad towards girls I've dated, but yeah, it takes a long time for me to be like, okay, you can meet my family now. It's like, I know.
Yeah, they've got higher standards for you, and they want the very best, and they're going to analyse. My lot are the same. You know, they always are very open to it. They always want to meet people I'm dating, but I know they'll sit down and interrogate them, and that's also a lot for someone else to go through.
Yeah, and also I just, like, I don't want to bring back any old one, you know, to meet my family. It's got to be someone who I'm like, okay, this is someone I really care about. And with my girlfriend, I found that person, so eventually she didn't meet the family. But even that took a good while, to the point where she was like, do you have a family? Because, I mean, you talk about them on stage, but I've never actually met or seen anyone. So, yeah, it took a long while. And
I don't know if that would be family. More sad or more impressive if you had a whole imaginary family for your stage routines.
Imagine that I'm talking about my grandma and talking about my brother. Turns out I'm an only child. Yeah, just took a long while. But I mean, my family, they've now met my girlfriend, so we've been together for ages, and they like her, so it's like, okay, it's cool, it's all good now. And also, like, if my family are happy, like, I wouldn't not date a girl just because of my family, but my family approving of the girl that I'm with makes a massive difference.
Yeah, and also makes your life easier, it sounds like. Because you'd be hearing about it.
Oh, trust me, mate, trust me.
But I would imagine even before meeting her, they've had a lot of opinions in the past. So what kind of things does your mom and your nan, I imagine, would have a lot of thoughts about what kind of girl you should be looking for?
You know what? My mum's weird because like, my mum's always been like, as long as you're happy, mm-hmm. I'm happy. But I know that's bullshit. I know my mum wants like an angel. She wants super intelligent, super helpful, super caring. But then, having said that, I think my mum, I love her, she can be overprotective. You know how like some mums are like, no one's good enough for my baby? I think my mum has like a little bit of that. A little bit. Oh, no, my girlfriend told me that on my 30th birthday, she was talking to my mum, and my mum said, don't hurt him. Just out of nowhere. And yeah, I think she likes my girlfriend, don't get me wrong. But I think, yeah, she can be very overprotective. And I think she just wants what's best for me. Mm-hmm. My grandma, on the other hand, my grandma hasn't really said much about my dating. But as long as it's not no one stupid, no one is like scruffy, no one is going to bring shame. Yeah, anyone like that, my grandma would just like, just tear them apart and kill me.
Yeah, because you did one sketch, I think I remember, with her where you went out for the evening with two guys that had no game, and she got to listen in on headphones and hear them chat, girls.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And she's there, like, threatening them and be like, just so you know, I'll be listening. And somehow they're meant to confidently go and approach people after hearing that.
Yeah. Just a casual threat of violence is fine. Yeah, yeah. My grandma just do things right. Do things the right way, you know? If you don't, you know what I mean?
And so also in your comedy, you talk a lot about racism in, I think, a really brilliant way, although it feels weird as a white guy to be like, yes, I like the way that you talk about racism. But what I mean is, I think you do quite a brilliant job for a broad audience of knowing, okay, some people are going to tense up in this country when they hear certain topics come up. And so how can we have the conversation? How can I point out a lot of the absurdity of it whilst also making serious points in there as well, and sort of get the funny with the like, okay, but you're going to take this home and think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so have there been kind of experiences you've dwelled on in dating when it comes to racism? Any things you've noticed? Any times have you even had to challenge things in yourself?
Yes, because like, well, my dating history, I mean, I haven't dated like hundreds of girls, but I've dated enough women. And as I said earlier, like, I don't have like a very defined type. So I haven't always dated just the same race. I've dated black, white, mixed race, you know, whatever. And now my girlfriend, she's Asian. So yeah, I've had a lot of like interracial experiences. And with my girlfriend especially, for the most part, it's fine. Because, you know, like where I live in West London, you know, the current generation, you know, but it's been like an odd occasion where something's happened. Like we've been in a restaurant, me and my girlfriend, and then there's some Asian guys, and they see me with her, and I've noticed the looks, you know, just little subtle looks, like, you know, like look and say, what are you doing in front of our girls, man? That kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. There was one time where me and my girlfriend were out, one of my mates' birthdays, and some of his mates, they didn't know that me and my girlfriend were together, and when they found out, they then interrogated my girlfriend about, you know, like, well, how do your family feel about this? You know, are they okay with him? And it's like, what's the big deal? Come on, guys, like it's the 21st century now. You know what I mean? It's like, what year is it in your head?
Mm.
You know what I mean? We love each other. We're together. We're happy. You know, our families do know, and our families are cool. I've met her family. She's met my family. It's been fine. But every now and again, it does happen a lot. But every now and again, you get a few people like, oh, really? An Asian girl with a black guy? How does that work? Just like any other couple. You know?
The parts are the same, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just the different skin tones, but mate, the mechanics of a relationship work exactly the same.
Yeah, it's strange, though, that position we're in where people are getting better at knowing what not to say. But at times it feels like we need to catch up on actually how to still have the conversation, because clearly people do. And then they want to have these conversations, but then they often, yeah, fall back on kind of antiquated mechanisms like you've talked about in your stand-up. Something happens in the news regarding black people and then all your white friends come and ask you your thought about it. And, you know, and I can understand they can be coming from a good place, right? That they want to get your perspective. They're not really sure how to respond to it. But then also, like, you don't always want to be the person that's like, oh, well, I'm the black guy that everybody asks questions to. Like, when there's the internet and so many people that you can go and read and learn for yourself, right? Maybe it's coming from a good place of like, oh, so your families are okay with this? Can we have a different conversation? You know, because that's where it gets tired and you're like...
Yeah.
It can almost seem like then there's that additional pressure of like, what, should they not be okay with it? Like, what are you asking here?
That's the thing. Yeah. I remember my girlfriend was like, well, what... So the guy asked my girlfriend, are your family okay with it? And her response was, well, why wouldn't they be okay with it? Well, what are you trying to get? Just get straight to the point, mate. Get straight to the point.
I think I'm going to have to give some points for your girlfriend. I love that response.
I'll let her. She'd be very happy to know that.
You let her know. But no, it's a strange time we're living in. And one thing that was very strange for me, someone that like watches, you know, trends in dating and reads about a lot, you know, to kind of inform the show, when there was more conversations, you know, last year following the murder of George Floyd, there was this kind of strange trend simmering up in dating of like people feeling that they need to be, you know, opening up their options more, but in a way that felt very performative. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, you know, hopefully you were in a relationship and you avoided this. There was definitely a strange bit where people, you know, how there's the whole like stuff that finally people are saying less of like, oh, I can't be racist, I've got a black friend. It felt a little bit like a new incarnation of that, of like, oh, now we need to like date diversely because otherwise people are going to call us out on that. And I was like, that's not the reason to do it.
Yeah, I would hate that. I'd hate to be dated out of pity.
Yeah, that's why it's so fucked. It's like some kind of strategic thing for your I'm not a racist reputation. It's like people that aren't racist don't worry about it in that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. yeah, no. If anything, that kind of makes you look more racist, because why are you trying so hard to overcompensate?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. But yeah. We're in a strange time. One of the things is particularly the younger generation now, Generation Z, are going to be the most diverse of any generation. And a lot of that is not just in terms of like more mixing around the globe, but also it's the interracial dating. And so I think there's like a whole new level where we're going to have to have a whole new set of language, you know? Because we already hate the stuff of like, oh, where are you really from? It's like, well, a lot of these young kids now, there's not even an answer to that. They're answering in percentages. It's a whole new thing.
Yeah. You know what? My girlfriend and I, we had this similar conversation, because I'm really into sports, right? And with cricket, for example, I don't support England. I support the West Indies because my mum and grandma support the West Indies. And if I supported England, they would kill me. So I support West Indies. My girlfriend, she supports India, and she was like, if we have kids, can they support England? And I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know? Like, it's going to be very, like, what is the correct answer? That's the big killer question we have in our relationship. If we have kids, who will they support in cricket? India, England, or West Indies?
I love it. You might have to divide up the sports. You might have to have some kind of ballot system, decide who gets what.
Yeah, also, if India are playing West Indies, what does the kid do?
Yeah, it's... You know what, but that is one of, like, a million ways that race doesn't make sense, because I've got a bit of that with being Irish, that sometimes people will honestly get offended that I don't support England and everything. And...
Okay.
And it's because I'm white, basically, and because I sound relatively like a BBC newsreader. And it's like, but what do you think I'm betraying here, right? Because it's, you know, it's your history, it's where you're from. So, yeah, I've realised actually through making the first series of this podcast how much, like, my ethnicity is a factor in dating, far more than I thought. So that's been interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so certain things like my kind of intensity of like sort of nosiness of like really wanting to kind of get to know somebody, get to know about their family and all this kind of stuff, I'm aware it's kind of me turning into my parents a little bit when it comes to dating, because it's I've kind of sometimes got my mum in the back of my head being like, what do you mean they're from Ireland? Where? Who are their people? What's their last name? What street did they grow up on? I'm like, oh dear.
That's funny.
But then also there's an honesty in it, right? You've got to be who you are. And so, you know, I think there's always that. You go on a date and you're like trying to be cool and sophisticated and know what you're doing whilst you're also maybe nervous and also pretending to be like at least 10% more interesting than you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Come on, we all do that. We all lie on those first few dates.
And what was it like then with your current girlfriend in terms of how long did it take to let some of those guards down and show who you really are?
Oh, maybe, for me, probably maybe like a month. I say that because I remember, so we met, it would have been August time, and it was the start of the football season. I said, I'm really into sports. So maybe like a month or so later, I think it was like one Saturday, I was watching football and she called me and I didn't pick up. And I also just saying, listen, I'm watching football, can't talk right now. And she's like, well, why not? I was like, when football's on, just leave me alone, just nothing. And she's like, oh. I was like, it's nothing against you, I need to watch football, I need to watch my sports in peace and quiet. Unless you want to talk to me about football, just leave me be. And so she's like, that's when it's, you know, the real Nathan started to come out. It's like, okay, just, he likes his sports, leave him be. You know, he prefers texts as opposed to phone calls, because phone calls is fucking irritating.
I love phone calls.
Oh no, I find with a text or WhatsApp, at least I can do what I'm doing and text at the same time, so I don't have to stop. With a phone call, I feel like I have to stop everything and then talk. And most of the time, the conversation, it's like, could you just WhatsApp this to me or text me? But I've stopped doing what I'm doing for this. Just text it to me, mate.
I think it's practice. I think you need to be on more phone calls and you'll get past it. I definitely do other things whilst I'm on calls, but then I also know my friends do. And like, it's, I've had it before where a lot of them like listen to the podcasting I do. And it's got to the point where sometimes they'll like forget that I'm live. I've had it before where someone's like zoned out or they've like gone to the loo or something and just left the phone because they're used to like listening to me as a podcast. I'm like, this is too much. What are we doing? So yeah, maybe I'm the other way where it's too casual. And I certainly don't need to like ever have a phone call with somebody in a bath. Like, yeah, if I hear water, nah.
Yeah. Well, no. If you hear like a few drop bloop and a straining, then yeah, no. We are not at that point.
And so actually something you've mentioned there reminds me of something I can use as my rule of the game. So the thing we would recommend to try and live by with dating and particularly relationships, and that is not assuming that somebody knows how to love you best. And I think oftentimes this is like where we trip up on the smaller things. You know, like I think people are better at talking about like love languages. They're better at like communicating on the bigger things, like hopefully, you know, arguments. People know if we're arguing all the time, that can't continue, that kind of stuff. But I think certain things like you mentioned with like when the sport's on, I just need to watch it. And unless you're talking about this, we can't be talking because I'm watching this. You know what? I think so many people, particularly the lockdown and everything we've been through, That's broken some people up.
Yeah.
Stuff of that size that's got exaggerated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Listen, during lockdown, mate, the smallest little thing that my girlfriend did, like, just, even like sometimes just saying good morning, it's like, oh, fuck's sake. Again, another day of this. Another day of this shit. All right. Cool. Fine. Good morning. Let's do this. Day 7053. Yeah. But, I mean, you find a way to persevere, innit, man? If you love each other, you just stuck to each other. Just, yeah. And also in lockdown, there was actually literally nowhere else to go. So we were forced to just slug it out. I mean, I love my girlfriend. As much as I bitched about her so much during lockdown. Like I do a piece of my stand-up where I talk about, like, I look at my girlfriend during lockdown. And I was like, I love you, but just fuck off, right? But I love her. So as much as I wanted to fuck off, I don't. Because, you know, it's just, yeah. Just stuck together, man, just drawn to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to hear. And so, yeah, so that would be my rule of the game, is find these things that you can communicate so somebody knows how to not piss you off, I guess, even if it's small and it seems silly. And, like, I've certainly had to practice that because it does feel really dumb in the beginning where you're like, oh, just so you know, the other day you did this. Could you do this instead? Like, and you feel like, what am I, a school teacher? What, giving feedback on homework? What are we doing? But I think if with a bit of practice, you kind of get into that routine. And it's just, you know, finding ways to communicate that aren't, oh, well, just save it up for the next argument. No, not that.
Yeah, yeah. Just let it out, mate. Let it out. Let it go. It's the best way.
All right. Do you have something, a rule of the game?
Oh, my rule of the game. Okay. Just, it's very silly, but for me, it's a big one. Fart in front of your partner. No, and I mean that shit. Just fart. Get it out, because then once you get it out, you start, okay, we're at that level, we're cool with each other. Fart in front of your partner. I remember the first time I let one go in front of my girlfriend, and it, in a weird way, it brought us closer together. Because she was like, oh, okay, we've reached a new level in our relationship. I was like, oh, yes, we have. Air freshener.
She let out a longer one just to one-up you.
Oh, no, I don't think she could have one-up the one I let go. Mate, my one was monstrous. But, yeah, she was like, okay, cool. And she didn't complain. She was like, okay, we're there now, are we? And I guess we are. So, yeah, I say I encourage farting in front of your partner. It will bring you together in a weird sort of way.
That is brilliant. You know what? You're getting points for that. That is one of my favourite rules of the game I've ever heard. And it was delivered with such earnestness. And I agree. Although I do have a follow-up question. Are there any parameters? Certain things, like, are you allowed to, like, fart under the duvet when the two of you in bed? Or, like, what? In the shower while you're having shower sex?
No. You can't be, no, don't fart during sex. No. Okay, that's, oh, what kind of animal are you? No, okay, no farting during sex. Don't fart under the covers, because it will just stay there.
What do you do?
Go to the corridor? No, just at least move the cover off so it's got room to air out and stuff, but don't just do it in there. Yeah, don't just do it. If you do it, that's like, fine in a pocket where there's no escape. So, yeah, allow some room for ventilation. Don't suffocate the poor person.
Good, yeah, we gotta know the rules. We gotta know the rules of the rule in this case. Get it right.
Yeah.
All right, well, we will wrap up there then. So if people want to find more of your comedy here, no doubt more about your family and your girlfriend through that, where should they go?
Instagram, Nathan.Caton, Twitter, Nathan Caton, all one word. Website, NathanCaton.com, all my gigs. Come see me at a gig. I talk a lot about my family and my girlfriend. They are the butt of my jokes. So, yeah, come see me at a gig, man.
Love it. All right, we'll wrap up there. Thank you.
Cool.
Thanks for listening. You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
With music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.